Roman's Product Management Podcast. Outcome-based product roadmaps offer many benefits over traditional feature-based ones, including a strong focus on the value a product should create. But how can you introduce this new approach when an organization is used to feature-based plans and when stakeholders find it difficult to trust an outcome-based roadmap? To address these questions and help you get started with outcome-based roadmaps, I introduce a four-step process in this podcast episode. But before I share the four steps with you, let me briefly describe the main differences between a traditional feature-based and an outcome-based product roadmap. A traditional roadmap is essentially a list of features which are mapped onto a timeline, and such a plan might work if there is little uncertainty, change, and innovation present, and you can correctly predict what the product should look like and do. But in today's fast-changing digital product space, that's hardly ever the case. Using a feature-based roadmap that fixes the product functionality for the next, say, 12 months, therefore risks creating a product that offers the wrong functionality and creates little value for the users and customers. Fortunately, a different roadmapping approach has emerged in recent years: outcome-based, goal-oriented product roadmaps like my Go product roadmap. Instead of determining features, you first and foremost consider the specific value the product should create, the outcomes it should achieve. And these might include acquiring new users, reducing churn, increasing engagement, improving conversation, and reducing development time and cost by removing technical debt. To put it differently, instead of focusing on what needs to be delivered, you ask why it is worthwhile progressing the product. However, I find in my coaching work that management and business stakeholders can be very attached to traditional feature-based plans and expect to see roadmaps that are primarily built on features. In such a situation, it can be a big ask to let go of detailed feature-based plans and trust an outcome-based product roadmap. And if you find yourself in a similar situation, then apply the following four steps. Step one. Set an outcome-based goal for the next 3 months. An example for an online shop might be increase conversion by 5%. Now, make sure that the goal states the positive impact you want to make on the user's customers and the business. Avoid the pitfall of setting feature-based goals, such as prioritize the search results or improve the search algorithm. Think why, not what. Additionally, ensure that the goal is specific and measurable so that you can clearly tell if it has been met. And don't forget to involve the key stakeholders and development team representatives in the goal setting process, as this helps you leverage their knowledge, it creates transparency and strong alignment, and finally, it maximizes the chances that they will actually follow the goal. Aim to achieve consent, and this means that nobody involved in the goal setting process has any meaningful objections against the outcome. A great way to engage the individuals is to invite them to a collaborative workshop, which may take place on site or online. Ask a skilled facilitator to run the session, especially when the attendees don't know each other very well and the level of trust is low. This frees you from having to facilitate and allows you to focus on setting the right goal. Step two, use the outcome to determine the features. With a specific, measurable, and outcome-based goal in place, determine the features that have to be delivered to meet the goal. A practical way to achieve this is to focus the product backlog on the outcome. And you can do this by removing any product backlog items that are not required to create the desired outcome. Simply delete or archive them. Then determine how the product has to change to meet the goal. Does the user experience have to be adapted? Do you have to add or change any functionality? Do you have to meet new or enhanced non-functional requirements, including compliance standards? And are bug fixes and architecture refactoring work required to achieve the outcome? Make sure that you decline any feature requests that do not help you meet the goal. Use the outcome as your decision tool and stick to it unless it becomes invalid. Don't make the mistake of accepting a feature to please a stakeholder or avoid a difficult conversation. Saying no is part and parcel of a product person's job, as I discuss in more detail in the episode 5 Tips for Saying No to Stakeholders. The link is in the show notes. Step 3, review the approach. At the end of the 3 months, review how the new approach has worked for you. What went well and what didn't? Did you manage to fully meet the goal? How beneficial was using the agreed outcome to determine the product features? To what extent do management and business stakeholders support an outcome-based roadmapping approach? If the approach was somewhat but not entirely successful, or the level of support is still low, repeat steps 1 and 2 and set another goal for the next 3 months. Consider what you can do differently this time to be more successful. Should you, for example, involve the stakeholders more closely in the goal-setting process? Should you do a better job of focusing everyone on the outcome? And should you be maybe more ruthless and decline any feature request that doesn't fit the goal? If the approach was successful and management and stakeholders are supportive, you are ready to take the final step, step 4. Step 4 is build an outcome-based product roadmap. Now, having successfully used an outcome-based goal to determine the product features puts you in a great position to set outcomes for the next 6 to 12 months and build an outcome-based product roadmap using a template like my Go product roadmap. And if you're interested in using this template, you can download it from my website, romanpischler.com, together with a handy checklist, and the link is in the show notes. But before you build your outcome-based roadmap, ensure that a valid product strategy exists. Such a strategy should state the users and customers who will benefit from the product, the needs the product will address, the business benefits it will offer, and the standout features which will set it apart from competing offerings. And this is particularly important for commercial revenue-generating products. A handy template to capture the strategy is my product vision board. The link is again in the show notes. Now, once a valid product strategy is available, you can use it to determine the right roadmap outcomes. To achieve this, you have two options, as I explain in more detail in my book, Strategize. First, you can derive the roadmap goals directly from the needs and business goals in the strategy by breaking them into sub-goals. Second, you can use your key performance indicators, KPIs, to discover outcomes such as increasing engagement and reducing churn, as long as these are aligned with the needs and business goals in the strategy. Finally, don't forget to involve the key stakeholders and development team representatives in the roadmapping work. As described in step 1, invite the individuals to a collaborative workshop and co-create the product roadmap. This will help you make the right roadmapping decisions and generate strong buy-in. I hope you found my advice helpful. You can learn more about successfully working with outcome-based product roadmaps by attending my product strategy and roadmap training course and by reading my book, Strategize. Contact me if you need help with introducing outcome-based roadmaps to your team or organization. Thank you for listening.